I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Amen. Now we glory in the cross of our Lord. And this is not a very good, but you understand what it is. You know, on that cross, I don't believe you could recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. You take a rod and you beat somebody in the face with it. What's going to happen to them? They're going to bleed. They're going to swell up, aren't they? Bruise. There's a couple in here that's got beards. I believe the Lord's beard was out where you could grab it. Well, if you grabbed a handful and yanked it out of his face, what do you think it's going to be? It's going to bleed. Well, they did that to him. They strapped him to a pole, and they took his arms, and this was like it wasn't a small pole, and they strapped his arms around and pulled until the skin on his back was tight. And they took a whip, and this whip, they called it a cat of nine tails. It had different leather, and in the end of the leather, the pieces of leather that come out, strips of leather, it had like a rock, bone, glass, metal. And the guy would take, and it was an art. And whenever he would hit it, and they called it scourging, and his skin is stretched tight, and when he would hit his back, those pieces of metal, glass, bone, whatever they could find, it would tear hunks of flesh out of his back. It would bleed. They took their hands and they hit him again. I would imagine the Lord Jesus Christ mouth would have been busted open, lips swelled, eyes swelled, blood everywhere, beard pulled out, blood running down his back, and the Bible said that you could see his inward parts. That's how deep and how much flesh they pulled out of him. And God let this happen. Now, God could have stopped it at any moment. Jesus said, "Think not that I could pray to the Father and He would send me presently 12 legions of angels." And I can picture in my mind's eyes that that night before they nailed Him to the cross, after they had beat Him and they put blindfolds over him and they hit him with reeds and rods and the blood down running every time he took in his sandals and the blood everywhere, just a mass of flesh, just bloody. And he's still fulfilling prophecy. And I can picture in my mind Michael, the archangel, the war angel, the commander of the Lord's armies, with his sword drawn, looking back at the Father, waiting for the word, and he would have obliterated the whole world in that moment. One angel killed 185,000 men in one night. What do you think Michael and the rest of them could have done? And God the Father never done nothing. Had he stopped it, every one of you and me, under the sound of my voice, would have ended up in hell. The only hope that you and I had was that Jesus Christ finished the work that was given unto him. And on that cross, he said, "It's finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He finished the work for your salvation. Now, it just amazes me when people realize that of what Christ went through and yet still think that God will accept them on the basis of their goodness and their work instead of on the work that Christ did for. That blows my mind. What in the world could you offer to God Almighty that Jesus Christ hadn't already offered on that cross? There's the sacrifice. There's the wrath of God being poured out on your sin. And he took your place and bore your reproach and was made a curse. Cursed is everyone hangeth on a tree. He was made a curse for you. He was cursed by God the Father. God the Father turned his back upon him. The law put him to death in your behalf. And so now judicially, if you trusted him, judicially speaking, there is no law against you, and where there is no law, there is no sin, and God doesn't see you in your sin. He sees you in the finished work of Christ. Now, that's power. I want to talk to you about that power. We talk about the power of God. We pray, people today praying that power of God fall today. Power of God, back to Pentecost, need more power. Well, right there's where the power's at. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, in verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them of the which are of the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. That's holier than that, thou's there, buddy. Now they said, I'm of Christ. You ever heard? You ever talked to somebody about following Paul? And they said, well, I believe in following Jesus. Well, that's them. Now notice what he said. Is Christ divided? He asked a question. Is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? No. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Boy, wouldn't that be something for a pastor to say to his congregation? I mean, you know, there's all this emphasis on baptism. Wouldn't that be something if a preacher got up and looked at his congregation and said, I thank God I baptized none of you but Joe Blow and Sister Susie? Huh? That wouldn't go over too well, would it? But look what he said. Lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Four. Why? Didn't you keep a record, Paul? Four. Christ sent me not to baptize. Now, the 12 couldn't say that. I mean, that's why we're here. Let's just take, turn back and look in Mark chapter 16. That's a good one. Mark 16. Notice in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, the 12, go in ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. How would you know he didn't believe? Huh? According to Luke chapter 7, you would know he rejected the counsel of God being not baptized. Look in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Just go back a few pages. Matthew 28. Verse 18. Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, and by the way, he's not exercising that power now, is he? Come on, folks, who does Paul say is the God of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? The God of this world is Satan. Jesus Christ was took up on the mountain in Matthew chapter 4, and Satan, the devil, came and talked to him and said, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, said, I'll give you this if you'll fall down and worship me, for it is mine to give to whomever I will. Jesus Christ, he has all power, but he's not exercising that authority now. But he says there, verse 19, but go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he told them to observe all things to observe was the law. Matthew 5 through 19, 20. Matthew 23, verse 2 says, they sit in Moses' seat, all the Pharisees, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. He taught them to keep the law. Did he send them to baptize? Could they say that he didn't send me to baptize? No. Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? Verse 17, back in 1 Corinthians, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now wait a minute, turn back to Romans chapter 1. Robbie read the verse this morning. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1,
Paul said in verse 15, "For as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that is baptized." Everyone that what? Believeth what? The gospel. Believeth. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. So I got the gospel of Christ on this side. What is that gospel? Well, the word gospel is good news. That's what the word means. It means good news. Somebody come in back there and said, "Have you heard the good news?" Well, first thing I would say, "Well, what good news are you talking about?" There's a lot of good news, but there's a lot of bad news too. And there's a lot of bad news that people think's good news. Now look what he said. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what? Power of God unto salvation." So the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. I got a problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Them that perish, would they be lost? Well, how in the world could you preach something as foolishness and it be the power of God unto them if they think it's foolishness? And you know what it's all about, folks? We preach the gospel of Christ. What is that gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture." He said in verse there, look what he said, "the gospel," verse 1, "which I preached unto you, which you have received, and wherein you stand, by which you are saved." That's the power of God. What is that? Christ died for your sins. On that cross, He hung there and He died. And He became sin for you who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteous. Listen, we preach the gospel. What is the good news to the world, the sinners today? That there is a Savior. That that Savior died for their sins. And He died for all of their sins. And they can be saved from hell and the wrath to come if they are trusting. That's the good news. And that's the power of God and the salvation. But on the other side, look back in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So I got over here the gospel of Christ. I got the preaching of the cross. This is for the lost. This is for the saved. The gospel of Christ tells men that Jesus, what Jesus did for them in dying for their sin. The preaching of the cross is to the saved, to show the saved what God has accomplished for them when He did die. The problem is in religion today, there are people that have never seen what the cross accomplished for them. God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, but they'll never come to the knowledge of the truth without the preaching of the cross. You've got to rightly divide this Bible in order to understand what that cross did for the believer. Let's look at some things about the cross. Turn with me. Notice something else before we go. That cross, look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. So the world, if you preach the cross to the world and you start talking about, and when you're preaching the cross, you're preaching to save people what the cross accomplished. You're preaching what Jesus did for them, not for just salvation, but for perfecting them. You're preaching what, and I'm going to show you that in a moment. And so they look at that and say, well, that's foolishness. Like I've had people to come up, and I just get where they come up, and I began to talk to them, and they say, oh, you one of those that believe in once saved, always saved. And so I say, yeah, that's a bummer, ain't it? And they look at me funny because I said, yeah, man, that's a bummer. They said, well, what do you mean? So I said, boy, it was so good. I wish I could do it again. But I can't. The preaching of the cross shows the eternal security of the believer. The preaching that Jesus Christ died for their sins is the power of God to get them saved. The preaching of the cross is to the saved to get them established in what Jesus did for them. This cross. You notice something about this cross? Jesus said, Father, in the garden, He said, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. You know what He's looking at over there? He's looking at that wrath that's going to be poured out over there someday. He's looking at that cup. And in that cup is wrath. It's the wrath of Almighty God. And He's looking at that. And He sees what all's there. And He doesn't want to go through that. He don't want to see. He said, if there's any other way, let that cup pass from me. Not my will, but Thy will be done. And Jesus Christ drank that wrath. He drank of that cup. He drank it for you. You don't have to. This cross, look what He said in Philippians 2. He said in verse 5, let this mind, this attitude, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, folks, you read that verse. There's something about that death. It wasn't just die. Somebody could have stuck a sword in him or anything. There was one time they was going to throw him down off of a cliff. But just like, nope, that ain't the way I'm going to die. If it was just him dying, he could have just let them throw him down off the cliff. But no, it wasn't just death. It was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Why? Crosses was for criminals. Don't you understand? And Barabbas, he took Barabbas' cross, a murderer, a robber, an insurrectionist, a thief, and he became what you are. You're the criminal, don't you see? And he became that on that cross. And he was put to death. My. Look in the shame. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What shame? Well, shame of losing what he was. Shame. I mean, he's on that cross. They take his clothes. They strip him down. He's naked on that cross. He has no covering. He has no loincloth. He is naked up there on that cross. And he was naked in the hall when they was beating him. And they made fun of it. I mean, how would you like to be put on display like that? Tell me it wasn't shame. Cross. The cross is foolishness to the world. They don't see no good news in the cross because they can't be established. The cross is offensive. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. It's offensive to people. I've had people that say, well, you believe in that slaughterhouse religion. Have you ever heard that? Slaughterhouse religion. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. This world's going to wake up someday. They're going to look up sometime, and they're going to look up, and they're going to be afraid of what they see in the heavens out there. Wrath's coming. Storm clouds is brewing. You think God Almighty... I mean, folks, the day's fixing to come to a climax, and I'm telling you, I mean, prepare to meet thy God if you're not prepared. So I've heard that all my life. It's still coming. Look what he said in Galatians. The cross is offensive. In Galatians 5, verse 11, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross cease? Then look in chapter 6. In chapter 6 of Galatians. In chapter 6, verse 12. And as many as desire, and here's religion today, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Persecution. Suffer. You know something? That cross brings persecution. The preaching of the cross is offensive to people. It's foolishness to the world to think that somebody died. I've had people to say, I don't need nobody to die for my sins. I'll take the punishment. God's an eternal God. You might take that punishment. But let me tell you how long you're going to be punished. You're going to be punished as long as God lives. And He's an eternal God. And you're going to suffer for your punishment, your sins, all eternity. And you know the hell of hells is why you're down there and you're tormented in that flame and you're suffering and oh, and you realize, you think back of the times that the gospel was preached to you and the opportunity that you had in the accepting Christ as your Savior, and you're down there and you realize, oh my Lord, there's no relief from this. I can't get out. I don't have no more hope. I'm doomed. All the times that Brian preached, that Robbie preached, that Kevin preached, that Alan preached, the times that they heard these men preach the gospel, I could have trusted them then, but I rejected it. I wouldn't swallow my pride. I wouldn't accept the fact that I was bad. Why? Losing your soul. The purpose that God formed it and created it. and then put in you, you're losing that purpose, and you're lost for time and eternity, day and night, suffering, and the hell of hells is, you realize you didn't have to. He done it for you. He went to hell for you. You understand that? Acts says not leave his soul in hell. He not only died for your sin, but he went to hell for you. Why would you reject him? Why would you turn your back upon the Creator of heaven and earth and not trust Him as your Savior? When all you had to do, Lord, I can't save myself. And what you did for me ain't enough. I'll just go to hell. I turn it over to you. They brought Paul before Felix. He said, you want to go back to Jerusalem? And he said, I stand at Caesar's judgment. I appeal to Caesar. That word appeal is translated call in Romans chapter 10. You know what it is? You know what Paul said? I just turned my case over to Caesar. You know what salvation is? You know how simple it is? You're sitting here tonight, today. You're lost. You know you're lost. You know there ain't no time in your life that you've ever trusted Christ. And you're going to die. That old ticker's going to stop ticking. And if you don't know Christ, you're going to fall. You're going to go. And in hell, you're going to lift your eyes. And you're sitting here and you're lost. And all you have to do is turn it over to Him. That's how simple it is. Lord, I can't save myself. I just trust You. Listen, that's the gospel. That's offensive to people. We glory in it. Look in chapter 6 and verse 14. You know what our boasting is? It's not in our membership. It's not in our church organization. It's not in our paid parking lot. So we don't have a paid parking lot. Well, if we had one, we're not the glory in it. There's a man, and we're standing out in front of his big church. And it had great big old white columns. Had big old spotlights shining on that big steeple in the front of that church. And it was pretty. And he looked at me and he said, boy, that preaches Jesus. And I thought, God dwelleth not in buildings made with hands. We're not to glory in that. The Lord could thump the building and the building collapse. And it wouldn't upset Him a bit. It would upset us, but it wouldn't upset Him. He could care less. He's more concerned about the building He's building than the building that we built. And we should glory in that. Look in verse 14. Verse 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Same as baptism today. They glory in how many they had baptized. They glory in how many decisions they had for Christ. Let Christ in your heart. Well, what makes you think Christ wants to be in your heart?
He ain't coming into your heart. Mark says there's 13 things comes out of man's heart, and they're all evil. When the Lord saves you, He don't enter into your heart. When the Lord saves you, He creates a new man in you. Don't you understand? And that new man is Christ. That new man is where the Holy Spirit's dwelling. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Look what he said in verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That world, that's what we should glory in, is the cross. We preach the cross to show the saved that what Christ has accomplished for them and what they have in Christ. Now let me just give you a few things. The preaching of the cross establishes the believer. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, notice in verse 20. In Colossians 1 verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And it's by the blood of His cross He made peace. The believer has peace today. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The Bible says in Isaiah in 59, said, there is no peace to the wicked. They're like the troubled seed. But I want to tell you today, we can understand when we trust Christ as our Savior and we realize, hear the gospel, we believe that. And then we hear the cross, what it accomplished. We realize that why that cross, why He had to do it. So we can have peace with the Father. Your sins had to be paid for. Salvation's free to you, but it costed God something. God just didn't pardon the sin. Them sins was paid for. We have, look in Colossians 2. Colossians 2 verse 14. The things that was contrary to us, the preaching of the cross shows the law. And it shows verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross, and having small principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The powers of the devil, the satanic powers. You see, Satan wanted to kill Christ. And when he's hanging on that cross, it's almost like, I got him now. And the greatest deception of all time was when the devil deceived himself. And there he is. And Psalm 22 says the bulls of Bashan is around him. And the demoniac forces. Do you realize you go to Matthew, find out who's at the foot of that cross? It's them Pharisees and them Sadducees and them religious leaders down there. And they're mocking Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself. If thou be the Christ, come down out of that cross and we'll believe. And they're knacking on Him and they're gnashing on Him. And Job said He gnashes on Him with their mouth and they're making fun of Him. I can see the spiritual bulls out there and the demoniac forces poking fun at Him. And we got Him now. Where's your power at now? And He finally dies and they're having a shouting time. He's gone. We killed Him. The world's out. But brother, on that third morning, the earth began to quake a little bit and the old flute foot and the demons of hell, they began to open their eyes and say, what's going on? About that time, before the sun up, the Son of God came through that rock formation, King of kings and Lord of lords, and that's my Savior, and He ever liveth to make intercessions for me, and someday He's coming back to deliver me out of this present evil world. I can't wait to see Him. Amen.
So you're getting beside yourself. Well, just leave me alone. I'm having a pretty good time. He's God. That's who I glory in. We have the victory. Triumphant. The law that condemned us was nailed to the cross. You see, folks, there's no use to preach stuff like that to sinners. That ain't what's going to get them saved. That's the preaching of the cross. That makes us realize the power of God. And to us that are saved, it's the power of God. He defeated the devil in your behalf. And you have the victory. And we're complete in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 10 said, "And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." We're complete in Him. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We have spiritual circumcision, spiritual baptism, spiritual quickening with Him. We died with Him on the cross. We were buried with Him in the tomb. We arose with Him on the third day. I mean, everything we have it spiritually. This is a spiritual body, and we're in Christ Jesus. We don't have our identity. We have His identity, and we're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. We're the body of Christ, and God can never deny us. What a Savior. And we have all forgiveness. All of our trespasses is forgiven. You see, the preaching of the cross is what the church needs. The preaching of the gospel of Christ, which involves the cross, is what the world needs. And neither one's getting it. They're getting how to be a better you. How to live a better, fuller life. How to be prosperous. How to get a Cadillac. All that stuff. Physical. And the church is dying spiritually. Okay. We'll stop the tape and we'll start all over.